Good evening, everyone. We have another episode of MSP Weekly presented by the Low Voltage Nation. In this episode, we sit down with Chris Azer, an LVN Gold member and owner of Sotera Technology Group. He's located in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, where he's a low voltage contractor, mainly focusing on access control, camera system installs, and structured cabling. We talk about possibly him transitioning into the MSP space. We discuss our networking stacks. We discuss our software stacks. We discuss all things low voltage and IT. If you would like to learn more about the Low Voltage Nation, you can visit us at lvngold.com. And to save 30% on your membership, you can use the offer code TSCIT. Now, let's get into the episode with Chris. How are we doing tonight, guys?
I'm doing fantastic. I don't know about you guys.
I'm living the dream. I'm never not living the dream.
It's just another wonderful Wednesday in New Jersey.
Oh, now I know you're lying. There's nothing wonderful about New Jersey.
Did you guys have a nice warm snap today?
Oh, it's beautiful. I have to tell you, it felt like spring.
Yeah.
No complaints.
It was.
And yeah. The snow is melting, so even better.
Yeah, we've gone from having, 3 feet of snow on the ground to 3 feet of waterfalls there. They've been good. I'm sorry, waterfalls. Philadelphia accent's coming out. It's waterfalls. I'm sorry.
At least the transit could get in and out of the driveway, right?
Maybe. I think today was the first time I've driven the transit in 2 weeks.
I don't know if this Western New York boy just has better luck with his transit or he knows how to drive in the snow. I haven't had an issue except for like really, really slushy snow that's thick and heavy.
I actually think it's pretty good in the slushy stuff, but it's definitely not good in just the newly found slippery snow. Maybe I just need better tires. I don't know.
You might need better tires because the transit I got had brand new tires on. I haven't had an issue yet.
All right. It's me. I'll admit to it. I'm okay with it.
So tonight we have Chris on. Chris, you want to give us a little insight of who you are, your company?
Sure. So my company is Sotera Technology Group. We do a lot of different things. We are a small MSP, and we do a lot of security, structured cabling, all that good stuff. So that's pretty much, we've been in business for about 2 years now. I actually have a background in IT. I grew up in a family business. My dad has an IT company. And I've been working with him throughout the years on and off and eventually just decided to branch off, do my own thing and still collaborate with him a bunch and lean on him for resources and stuff. But that's pretty much where I'm at.
Awesome. Where are you guys located?
So we're actually based out of Mississauga. It's just a suburb right next to Toronto, just about 5-10 minutes from Toronto.
Yeah. 5-10 minutes on a good day. Remember, if there's traffic, it could take a year.
With COVID traffic, about 10 minutes, 15, let's say. But on a bad day, it could be an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of family up in Toronto, St. Catharines area. And my aunt and uncle are crazy enough to drive from St. Catharines to Toronto every day for work because, cheaper living expenses down in St. Catharines.
Oh, yeah.
But I forgot. I think it was the Hamilton Bridge or one of the bridges. A dump truck hit it, I think maybe 2-3 years ago now. And it took my uncle 3 hours to get home one night because of the detour.
Yeah, I recall that's the Skyway Bridge coming from Hamilton, Niagara Falls, right?
That's what it was. Oh, man. I don't miss those drives. I'm much happier than we haven't been to Canada in a year, unfortunately. But I'm much happier there in St. Catharines now because that drive sometimes from the border to Toronto can be a nightmare, especially in the summer. Oh, my gosh.
Oh yeah,
I don't know how you guys can deal with it.
Yeah, the roads here are like you'll notice if you're about Canada. There's not many highways. You guys have all kinds of highways going everywhere. Right. We have like the 401, 403, yep. QEW. That's about it.
Yeah, and a lot of them turn into parking lots at all times.
You got it.
Oh gosh. So, what is your main focus right now? Is it structured cabling security or the MSP side?
So it's always, I'm kind of torn between the two because growing up, like I said, I worked for my dad and it was a lot more of IT based stuff. There was a lot of installation and stuff like that too, cabling, but kind of on a very small scale. But I really like working with IT and with computers. And it's almost like for us, it's second nature, but for other people, they're just completely amazed, right? And one of the cool things about IT And I mean, this may not be 100% true, but kind of on a high level, you can go in and do some work for somebody. You don't need a ladder. You don't need any tools. You don't need any materials. You just need your brain, and you go away in a couple clicks, and then boom. Yep, service call. Can I have my $200 now, and I'm out of here, or whatever it is, right? So.
Right. No, and it's great, especially the past, what, 5-10 years. You don't even have to really leave our offices half the time. I mean, Ray, how often do you leave your office unless you're going to do a structured cabling job?
Well, per my last statement earlier with the transit, I haven't left in at least 2 weeks because I'm afraid of the snow. Generally speaking, you know, my business is 90% consulting, 10% on site. So we try to stay in office as much as possible.
So I got a question for you guys. What about customers who are not on a contract at all? Do you offer remote support to them or not?
Yep. So I personally do. Our managed customers, if it's a hybrid where it's not all you can eat, I'll give them 15 minutes of free remote support. Then I'll start billing in half hour increments. If they're a break fix customer, then they pay me my full rate. There's no free time. There's no nothing. And it's billed out in hourly increments versus half hour increments. So for them, I use ConnectWise Control to get on their machines, whereas all of our managed customers are on Datto RMM.
Yeah, I got you. So how does that work, though? Because you got to pay for that screen connect. Is it like it's not per license or anything? Like how many seats does it give you, or is it unlimited? Or
so I don't know if it's still available, but at the time, if you weren't doing any unattended seats, it was a free license. So I can do, I think, one session or two sessions at a time, and it's free.
I've been getting away recently using a lot of just the free, like TeamViewer, free one, and like AnyDesk. And it's been kind of working, except for sometimes when it doesn't and the customer kind of gets frustrated. But those are also customers that are not on a contract. Like there's some people who are in the school of thought where if they're not on a contract, then they don't get the luxury of maybe getting remote support. And you kind of have to show up on site. And, you know, because they don't have your RMM tool installed. They don't have your unattended access tool installed or what have you, right? So, right. I don't know. It's kind of, I always feel like they have the luxury of calling me 2 seconds I log in and fix something, but they're not on I just feel like they should be on a contract to get that kind of service. But I'm not at the point where I could tell them, hey, unless you're on a contract, I'm not supporting you remotely. So.
Right. I mean, I see that from some of the big players that they do come in and say it's either my way or the highway. But I wish I could do that. I don't know. I mean, I'm just here to, at the end of the day, to help these people out. I've always been in the mindset, we're a small business. I want to help small businesses. I'm not here just to become a multi-billionaire and, you know, fly my jet around to all my different offices.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, we'll work with them as we can, but I would definitely take a look at ConnectWise. It's been pretty simple, pretty great for us. I just get scared with TeamViewer now because, if I remember correctly, that was the attack vector for the Florida water treatment plant. I think they got in through TeamViewer. I don't know, Ray, have you read anything about that, Marco?
I've not.
You know, I'm kind of
a few like words
on the fence with TeamViewer, right? Some of the bigger companies that we work with, like the manufacturers, use it.
Yeah.
I'm a big Citrix guy. So I'm go to assist for probably, 8-9 years now.
And that's the product I use, Marco. I mean, we've used each other's more often than not.
Well, it's like, Ray, why can't you get in? Oh, wait, I'm going into remote on my remote while you remote. Got it.
little inception right there.
Yes, I'm in a session within a session. Chris, before we dig deeper into individual products and things like that, I think it would really benefit us and the people that are listening to kind of give us an idea of, you know, your typical client, the size of your clients, the people that you're working with, because you're trying to transition from break fix to MSP, correct?
Correct. Well, yeah, sorry. We kind of went on to a sidebar there, but
yeah. And I think it'll help us here. And especially, you know, Brandon and Marco, myself, we can kind of steer you in the right direction and all the people that are listening. If you give us kind of an idea about your business, you know, what are your clients? How many clients do you have in a business that you're supporting? Like, what are you really looking for?
Okay. So it's kind of a transitionary period right now. Initially, when I started my company, realistically, we were doing mostly subcontract work. It wasn't really any IT at all. It was mostly just installation of one big security company actually that I was working for. I ended up convincing them to sub me out some work. And it was really cool. And it was fascinating because it was really big projects. And basically we were doing like, we did a project last year for them, 200 access control doors. We did a project for them and that same project, 55 IP cameras. So then they would also get us to go around and do a bunch of their, like they had contracts with Sport Check. It's a sporting goods supplier. Yep. They had contracts with some other big name companies. We go and do their alarm systems and stuff like that. So at that point, I didn't have any of my own IT clients, but I started to kind of put the word out there and slowly some would trickle in. And I ended up, so basically what is my typical client? It's hard to say. There's some really small ones, and then I have one quite large one. Where do I want to go with my company? I love doing the installation side of things, and I would love to one day be at the point where Marco is doing multifamily residential stuff like that. That's where I really want to go.
We all want to be where Marco is, for the record.
Okay, I figured that. Anyways. And I also want to do the IT, but the challenge I have now, for example, I was on a site today, and it's a construction site, and the people I'm working with are not the most experienced, so I kind of have to babysit them at some point. So I'm getting support calls and I have to like stop what I'm doing, go do the support calls. I'm at a construction site. There's sound in the background. It's like, I wish I had enough IT work where I could hire somebody full time to sit at a knock and do what they got to do. Right. And I have this kind of dream or how I want my company to be in the end, because I worked for another bigger IT company at one point when I, either quit or my dad fired me, must have hired and fired me about 20 times, right? You know, I don't know if you guys know what it's like working for your dad, but
yeah,
I think Marco knows.
Just a little bit.
Right. So basically there was this one company I worked for called Frontline. They were a pretty big MSP, and they had like, you know, a section that had network guys, and then they had the level one, level two, and then they had, you know, guys for VoIP. And then so different departments, you know, and an accounting department. And that's kind of how I picture my company to be at one point. But right now, of course, I'm wearing all those hats. So it's kind of a struggle now to say, how can I grow my MSP side and the installation side? Or do I just pick one, or what should I do? That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's tough because that's the thing that I've been juggling with for a long time, too. Exactly what happened with you. I was on a construction site. We were pulling like 200 drops for a car dealership, and one of my customers' SIP trunks went completely down on them. And I had to scramble to figure out, okay, crap, what do we do here? How do I combat this? Let's get this up and running. Thankfully, I had a partner company there. We worked together to get the system back up and running. But one thing that I've tried to do is partner with another smaller MSP. And you can kind of use each other, work hand in hand, and that's going to give you extra hands without having them on your payroll. So there's two other guys on this call that do this all the time. Ever since they did the first LVN charity project last year, met each other, these two work together, what, every 2 or 3 weeks you guys are working on a job together. I mean, I think that relationship's been working out pretty well for you two.
I mean, I'm not going to speak for Marco. I'll speak for me. I mean, I'm enjoying it. And I would say, you know, we might be on site, you know, every few weeks so often with each other, but we probably work every day together one way or another.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, and Ray and I have spoken about this. It's fun too, right? Because we have similar maturity levels, I guess we could say, where we can have, you know, we can kind of goof around and get work done at the same time. And it's not a normal occurrence where that happens, you know, more times than not, people are just either too serious, don't want to be bothered, or they're just aggravated about something else, you know?
Yeah. I mean, another great place to look is, the LVN Slack. I mean, there's some guys in your neck of the woods that do exactly what you do that you could partner with. Rob from Red Defined Solutions, he's probably an hour from you, 45 minutes from you. And he covers the same thing. He does structured security, alarms, cameras, MSP work. And having kind of somebody you can bounce ideas off is really helpful.
Absolutely. I'm going to reach out to him. That's a really good idea. And we have communicated a little bit in the channel and stuff like that. So I do know Rob, but I want to reach out to him kind of on a more formal level and see if we can hook up. Like, I always see you guys getting together. I get so excited. Like, I wish I could be down there. I would fly over there. Like, I don't even need to be paid just so I could be hanging out with any of you guys or like Pierce and those guys. Yeah. I'm so about that. Like, I would love to.
Did everybody hear him say he's willing to work for free? Cause I did.
I'll pay for the flight.
Hey, hold me to it, guys. Hold me to it, honestly.
Well, I mean, on the note of working for free, there might be an opportunity depending if the border opens or not. Ray, you want to do another LVN charity project in the near future, don't you?
Yeah, it's great. You know, we were talking about an ambassador call on Sunday. We're absolutely going to do another project. I would like to do a project bigger than Craven Hall was, but it obviously depends on, you know, borders opening up, whether it be country borders or state borders, and you know what vendors are willing to work with us. And 10-4 Optics has already said they're in. I guarantee a vertical cable will be in. Cable and connections will probably be in. It'll be awesome. So, you know, I have reached out feelers in my neighborhood and reaching out to businesses to see who wants to be the next recipient of the LVN Gold Standard network infrastructure for their business at no cost. So once we figure out who that business is, we're going to reach out to everyone and see who wants to get involved and who can donate what. And, you know, Brandon, I've heard through the grapevine that you're coming down this time. No offense, buts, maybes about it.
I will be there, I promise. Just make sure you guys find something that isn't a historical building that we don't have to stress about damaging anything in it.
I cannot make that promise. I've actually been approached by another historic society in the area that is very interested, but we'll see where it goes.
I mean, I don't know how you guys did that without being super stressed out. I met the company that had to put network drops in George Eastman's house, like his original house that was built in the late 1800s. They said it was the most stressful job they've ever done in their life because nothing could be damage, nothing could be cut, nothing could be changed, but they had to wire up the whole entire house with Wi-Fi and network drops. I mean, more power to them.
Yeah, I mean, Marco, did you feel any stress on that project whatsoever? I mean, truthfully.
No, I can't say that I did. I mean, I think if we didn't maybe goof around time to time, we could have got it done quicker, but that was 3/4 of the fun.
Yeah, agreed. And that's sweating, part of the project.
Sweating hardcore in all the attic space, you know?
Yeah, that was fun. I lost a few pounds. I need to go back in that attic. I gained the COVID 50. So maybe if I go into the attic, I'll lose the attic 20. Might get back to some normalcy.
Oh, man. So being that you're so close to Toronto, do you get any other work from the big Fortune 500s? Because, I mean, there's just data centers littered all over the place up there. All these big skyscrapers, everything.
You know what? Not at the moment, but that is my plan. I'm kind of in the school of thought that there's so many businesses and so much work down there that I would love to have an office. Like, for example, that last company, or not last company, but a company I worked for in the past, Frontline, the MSP. Yeah. They're based out of Toronto, right in Financial District. You could walk to every single one of their customers. Like, it was awesome. Yeah. Right. That's how I'd want to have it.
Yeah, no. And I mean, it'd be great. I mean, I don't know if you've heard Pizza Studio Cafe up there. It's a make your own pizza place. My cousins started it about 5 years ago. They've since sold all the franchises, but it would have been great to have somebody like you because they were looking for camera systems. They were looking for Wi-Fi and I didn't want to go up and do it. And my cousin was still in college. So it would have been great to have somebody up there, but there's just so many opportunities in Toronto. You're in the perfect place to be. Yeah. What you were going to say something?
No, sorry. I was just waiting on you.
There's a little trick when you want to get their attention, hit that raise your hand button. I tend to do it even when I don't want to say anything and it makes Brandon crazy.
No, it makes you crazy when you have no video and you keep turning mute on and off. That's what drives me nuts.
is my video off or is it on right now? I don't even know.
No, it's on. We're good. We're good.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. So Chris, you want to transition into an MSP. Is that your goal?
I want to build up both sides of my business, the installation side and the security structured cabling, because I really have a passion for that. And same with the IT. So I don't know if I'm biting off more than I could chew or if that's never going to happen. Maybe I should just focus on one thing, but.
Well, I can't tell you how to build your business. I mean, I can kind of tell you what we've done here and, you know, Brandon can tell you what he's done. Marco can tell you what he's done. I can tell you that if you are not a master of something where, you know, you're a jack of all trades, a master of some, my recommendation is focus your business on what you are really good at. Do what you are really good at and partner with a company that will assist you to do those other things that you want to do. Perfect example. You know, we talked about it a few minutes ago. Marco and I work on a lot of projects together. And the reason we work on a lot of projects together is we have synergies, right? So, you know, I don't pull fiber. Marco's company pulls fiber. So anytime that I need a fiber pulled, I reach out to Marco's company. We don't generally do telephones. So we've partnered with Marco for any of our customers that want to do telephones. You know, Marco, I don't want to take away from Marco and what he does, but we're really good with Ubiquiti and with Microsoft 365. So when he's got clients that need that or he need help with that, you know, he reaches out to me. At the end of the day, you're still supporting your clients, but you've got people on the back end that are willing to help you with those projects that maybe you're not necessarily the expert at. You're good at it and you have enough knowledge, but you bring in people that are experts to help you. It just makes you, you know, you learn more and you're a better company for it.
So if that's okay, I totally agree with you. And actually the first time we spoke when I was on a call before and you weren't on, I was actually brought that up, that same thing. I totally agree. I don't want to be a jack of all trades, master of none. You want to be an expert in your field on maybe not one specific thing, but your wheelhouse can only kind of be so big, right? So that being said, Ray, I know I'm better at the installation side of things as much as I do love IT. And I am good at it, but my skills are stronger in installation, cabling, and security, stuff like that. So that's probably where I'll buckle down. Like if I had it my way right now, an ideal job, yeah, it would be nice to land a 20-seat IT client, but it would even be nicer to me to land like a big project where I'm doing like 300 cameras or, you know, like 200 network jobs and Wi-Fi. That kind of gets me a little more going than doing that. But that being said too, I know the smart way to build your business these days is around reoccurring revenue. And that's what I'm trying to do. So I have my hosted voiceover IP, which I'm building up. And now I'm doing the access control. I just got in with Brevo and ProDataKey for reoccurring revenue. And what else was it? The alarms. So yeah, I want to find a way to add to my recurring revenue. Maybe I'll buckle down on the installation side of things and master that and reach out and partner up with maybe somebody if possible on the IT side.
I mean, is your father's company still in business or?
They are. They totally are. But that's the whole nother nightmare. Huh?
So, I mean, then it comes to looking for an MSP that needs an installer. So you guys can cover both gamuts. They're handling the MSP. Say you get a customer that wants MSP work, you can offload it to them. They can give you a kickback every month from that reoccurring revenue. They're handing you all the installation jobs and VoIP jobs, camera jobs, all that. You get them a little kickback and you're just kind of working in sync with each other. And who knows where it goes from there. I mean, my main focus has always been IT. I'll do structured cabling when it's needed, but if it's bigger jobs or if I'm just too busy, I have a partner company that I can call in and he can come and just hammer that job out for me. He's been great. And I also hate analog phone systems and he's been doing phones for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So he's my analog phone guy. I'll do VoIP all day long, but I haven't had to buy a butt set yet. And it's been 14 years.
Wow.
I have no desire to buy a butt set. So
no, I hear you.
That's been my goal. So, I mean, finding great partners, finding great friends, that's where you're going to grow the business. That's definitely the big thing that I've learned. I mean, getting to where Marco is great, but it takes time to get there. And you need to build a team around that before you can get there. You can only do so much. I mean, Ray's worked with Marco enough. The guy's phone won't stop going off and his radio won't stop going off. And he still has a huge team built around him. So imagine if he was alone trying to do this, I don't know if Marco would ever sleep.
Well, and you know, that's something too, Chris, to keep in mind, right? I'm a very hands-on guy. And I like to be out in the field doing installations, showing my guys how I do it, let them say, well, I want to do it this way. And by all means, you know, you want to do it your way, go ahead. Just remember that I have done it 10, 15, 20 times differently than the three times that you're doing it, the three ways that you're trying to do it. So the big thing is kind of knowing your limits and knowing where you want to exceed and kind of put your focus on, because that's one of my biggest caveats, right? I want to do everything and do it well, but you then limit your space and your time to those other areas because you're trying to do everything. And that's kind of what happens, you know, when you expand. And as you grow, you need to find guys that can fill in those portions. And maybe everybody can do everything, but only certain guys will do their respective trades well enough to complete the team.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's huge. And I mean, you mentioned multifamily, like what Marco does. Is that starting to become a big thing back up there again? Because I know there was a big drop in condos and all that about 10, 15 years ago. Is it starting to make another resurgence?
Oh yeah, they're just popping up everywhere. Like I don't even know some obscene number of the amount of cranes right now that are between downtown and Mississauga and just buildings popping up everywhere. So yeah, like I like the big projects. I like to use the high quality brand name stuff. I like to do everything to the nines and just like, you know what I mean? So That's the goal. Like right now, for example, if I had a client, like I mean, I have a client and I do their IT and I also do their cabling, Wi-Fi, security, right? I'm not going to pass them up to another IT company so they can make money off them. I'm going to find a way to make it work. So I know I'm drowning, but I'm gonna keep fighting, and then one day I won't be drowning. Right.
And if you can make it work, and hey, if only you know that you're having that treading underwater, or so to speak, you know,
exactly. Yeah.
Then you're the only one that knows, and you're only as big as you make yourself seem. So it's interesting to hear that, because a lot of people won't admit it, but between us, you know, you can have a job that you want to take on and you're like, well, is this too big? But you know what? If you have the basically like what Brandon was saying, if you have the people there to support you, nobody has to know that you don't know this, that, or the other thing, and you know A, B, and C. You know, you keep it to yourself, and if you're confident and you have, again, the backbone to help get you there, hey, man, more power to you, you know? You don't grow by telling people no, but you grow correctly and consistently by knowing your limitations.
So Chris, I did want to ask you, you mentioned that you were drowning. In what areas with this one particular client are you drowning? So maybe we have a, for instance, where we can give you some help with that.
Well, the way I say I'm drowning, because first off, I'm trying to bite off more than I can chew. If I want to do IT, I want to do installations, I want to do reoccurring, and I'm trying to do all this stuff, but I'm a one man show. Right. And especially now, like 6 months ago or a year ago, things were a little bit different because of COVID and everything really slowed things down for me. And I had to let a lot of people go. And the team I have right now is we're kind of building back up. So it requires a lot more of me being hands-on and showing them. Like I used to have a crew of guys where I don't have to show up to the site every single day, or at least till the end of the day, come check on it. And they know everything's good. I'm not at that point right now with the employees that I have. So that's kind of what's really killing me. So like my billing is falling behind, my quoting is falling behind. But one thing I make sure no matter what to do is when customers call, I answer the phone and I get the job done. Right. And so that's, I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one thing that I still struggle with is getting the billing done, getting the quoting done. One thing that I've toyed with, and I know a partner company of mine is, he brought in a part-timer just to handle all of his billing and handle all the quoting and all of the purchasing, and took that off his plate. And I mean, what he does is that person will build the quote. He'll just check over the quote, approve everything, and say, okay, send this to the client. When it comes back approved, then his part-time purchasing person goes and takes care of all the purchasing, buys everything, gets it all taken care of. All he has to worry about is making those relationships with the customers, making sure the customer's happy, and getting the install done. He doesn't have to do all that extra legwork that it takes just to get to the project.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure.
So that might be another option for you, is just trying to find like a part-time assistant that can just kind of help you out with that portion of it. I mean, that's how Blake's been able to grow the LVN to what it is by finding really talented part-time people that take care of a lot of the back end work and a lot of the day-to-day work. So Blake can focus on the big picture of the LVN. And I mean, just see what he's done in the past year and a half of making this group explode. And it's because of the people that are around him that he's been able to find to help grow. Another thing to think about is making sure you have solid organization. Use all the different options that are out there to organize everything. So Marco just moved to Freshdesk for all of his ticketing. He's starting to build a knowledge base in Freshdesk for his employees. Nice. So if like a common ticket comes in, they can look at the knowledge base, say, okay, here, ding, dang, ding, we're done. If an issue comes in that Marco kind of finds unique, he'll say, you know, why don't you make a knowledge base article about that, throw it up there. So if this does come back, we're not hunting for an hour trying to figure out what this is. You look that up, it's done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, Marco, you can speak to it more of what you use for like the construction side for organization and how you keep all the projects together.
Right. And that's one of the biggest things I think that I have in my business is organization, right? Everything is very organized, detail oriented, and simple for everyone to use, right? Because we have varying ages from guys that are in their late 20s to guys that are in their late 50s that have been doing this 40 plus years, and you know, people are stuck in their ways. But one of the things that we use that really covers us as a whole is Field Lens. Now, I'm not trying to plug them or anything, but we thought a month ago we were losing the software, they were going to sunset it. Long story short, we found out another company bought them out and it's back on the table and they're keeping the same pricing. And something like that, a tool like that, where we would have had to go to a bigger platform like a PlanGrid, which is owned by Autodesk, and spend another 15-20% annually, just it kills you because you have such nice software that manages everything the way it is and everyone's already been trained on it and you've been using it 4 or 5 years, and then now they're going to change it and you have to retrain everybody and everyone's aggravated, annoyed, and it delays your productivity. So that's one of the biggest tools that I use, not just on the construction side, but for all of our jobs. I mean, everything that we do, whether it's something small, like, hey, we did 10 cable runs, we put it in Field Lens. And it's just like documenting a job when you're done, whether it's tagging a rack, if you're putting the drawings together, whatever it may be, it's a paper trail and an audit trail. And I have to tell you, it's covered our rear ends 10-15 folds. And when you get a big contractor in some of these buildings, 400 or 500 units, and they go, you cut a hole in the sheetrock, it's your fault, and you go back to your photos and in your software, and you can say, hey, here's the date, here's the time we took the picture, here's where our cable was, you guys covered it. It's your fault.
Wow.
I can't tell you how many times the contractors don't even know what to say, because it's literally the age-old saying of a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, here it's worth a couple $1,000. So having those tools are, it's almost priceless.
Cool. Field Lens. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's not expensive, which is great.
So you guys were mentioning actually ticketing systems and stuff like that. I don't know if I told you before, I actually do use ConnectWise also myself for ticketing, stuff like that. Mind you, none of my customers actually even know my help desk address to send me a ticket there yet. But when I do, I make sure I put my tickets in there myself manually at this point. I also use a pretty cool quoting tool that comes along with ConnectWise, is ConnectWise Sell. Yep. And then I use, I actually just integrated this other product that takes reoccurring payments. It's for also by ConnectWise, Connect Booster. So I got all the bells and whistles, all super expensive stuff. Like my dad tells me, he's like, Chris, you don't need that stuff right now. But I'm like, hey, you don't see the value in this stuff. And I've used it at other companies, got so used to it. And it's like, I'm not going to stop using it now. I'm going to just find a way to generate some more income to pay for all this crap kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, no, the big thing with those is using them. I mean, I have Autotask PSA as part of my RMM PSA solution, and it's just getting used to it and getting in there and setting it up, because there's so much you can do with it. I'm assuming ConnectWise is very similar, where, I mean, it's designed for 50-100 person MSPs, and there's so many integrations and so much everything. It's just sitting down and getting that done. But even with you just manually entering your tickets, that's going to be huge in the long run, because you're going to have a repository of different issues that have come up. And one thing that I'm starting to do is build a notes database on these tickets. So
yep.
I can have a nice keyword that I can search and be like, okay, what did I do last time this problem happened? And a prime example of this is, I don't know if you ever worked with Small Business Server 2011 from Microsoft, that all-in-one server solution. So they had this stupid bug that if your motherboard died and you re-image the box from your backup, you would have to completely wipe the network stack before it would boot into Windows correctly, because it would tie itself to the MAC address of the old network card. And that happened to me twice. And thankfully, I had a ticket from the first time it happened that I was able to go back and say, okay, you got to boot into safe mode. You got to get into command prompt. You got to release the whole entire network stack, then reboot. Then it's fine and boots in perfect. So building up your ticketing system is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. And when Ray and Marco and I are saying focus on one thing right now, that doesn't mean in 4 years you can't jump back into IT. Focus on one thing now to free yourself up, build that team around structured cabling and security and cameras. And then that opens you up to start a new division and start doing, getting into the IT and start that a lot more. Because I see so everything's so connected nowadays on the security side and all that, that you really need to have that IT knowledge, and having a division that is IT is going to be huge. I definitely see that becoming a huge focus in the next, I'd say, 3 to 5 years, where everything's connected. No matter what it is, it's connected and you need IT for it.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's the thing. I know more than the average IT, and I wouldn't say more than enough to make myself dangerous, because I know more than that, but definitely not like too high level on the skills. But the way I see it, that MSP I keep mentioning, Frontline, that I used to work for there in Toronto, the guy who owns it, Haas, he's not the smartest guy, IT skills network, but the people right. that work for him know their shit, right? Yep. So yep. I don't have to know everything, but the exactly. people that work for me do.
Yeah, no, building a solid team around you, and then you're out there building the relationships with the customers is what it comes down to. And it sounds like you're great at that. You're answering the phone. You're making sure things are getting done. You build a team around you to support you. That's going to be how you succeed at the end of the day. I mean, that's what Marco's done. He's built a team around him that gets the jobs done, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah, he's very hands-on, wants to check everything, but he knows that his team's going to get it done and he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yep, you're only as good as your team. I know that.
Absolutely. And I mean, having very specialized people is going to help you in the long run too. My buddy worked for a big MSP in town, and they work for a heating and cooling company that has, I think, 300 seat software package. And they had a nightmare with this, where when they would do queries, it would take like 7-8 minutes to resolve a query across the whole database. And their MSP had a guy whose only job was SQL. And all he was just a SQL admin. He came in and figured out the software was completely wrote wrong and was doing queries backwards, basically. Wow. And this guy came in, rewrote all their queries, fixed all their issues, and now they have a customer for life, because he just saved that company so much time. The owners aren't the geniuses in SQL. Their level 1, 2, and 3 aren't the geniuses in SQL. They had one specific guy that was his only job.
And one superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, for us, again, going back to building relationships with outside companies, I don't do software development, but we have a customer of ours that we've known for 25 years that used to do all the software development for Kodak. So if I need software development or I need anything on the software side, I just call him and he can take care of it for me. So I'm able to offer those solutions to my customers because of a relationship I have. But, and I mean, another big thing is making sure you have solid vendor relationships. That's going to be huge. Who do you guys use up there right now?
Well, basically my suppliers are, D&H, Ingram Micro, Nixter, what else? A couple of smaller shops that you guys probably wouldn't be aware of that are locally.
So
Chris, you've ADI up there, right?
Oh, absolutely. I forgot to mention ADI. Yeah. For security, they're the number one.
Good old
so
ADI
is Ingram is
in ADI.
Oh yeah. They're all over. No matter where I go, there's an ADI, even up in Quebec, Ottawa, everywhere you go, there's an ADI.
Yeah. They're pretty good. They're purpose built.
Except for the people at the counter don't know shit. That's what really bugs me. But
well, you when you order from them, you just think that you work for them and you know all your part numbers. So everything's good.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't have the part numbers, you're screwed. Unless you're that one really good rep. Other than that, yeah.
Well, what I've learned with our ADI is those really good reps usually break off and start their own companies and stop working at ADI.
Yeah, or they move up to the big ticket customers they only deal with, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally. So,
is Ingram as much of a headache up there as it is down here? Like, I barely use them because they're so frustrating.
You know what? We've signed up for them, but I don't think we've placed an order with them yet, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Oh, my God. All you ever hear in the MSP groups is just complaining about how frustrating they are. Like, I can never get my rep on the phone. The reps only want to do pre-sales. They won't actually, like, help you build your order. They want you to go on the website and just buy everything through the website and be done with it. I'd like to work with a vendor to make sure I'm getting everything I need, get it all taken care of, make sure it's all getting out. I don't need to trust a website and hope that the website's going to get everything out for me.
Yeah, and the reps can hook you up. They give you discounts, they waive shipping, yep. Stuff like that.
Exactly. So what's your go-to equipment on the IT side? Do you have like a go-to network stack that you use for your customers?
Ubiquity. Well, I mean, if the money's there, Meraki. I don't have much experience with it, except for the one or two times. But, oh, man, it was like Cadillac. Like, wow. You know what I mean? Awesome. So easy. Real cool interface.
Yep.
But then Ubiquity is close second. So I always use Ubiquity as well.
So what I do, and I've gotten these two into it also, is doing a hybrid. So Meraki at the head end. So an MX firewall. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is unified switching and routing. And that has been amazing for me. I've been doing that for about 5 years now. And it just takes all the headaches away. When you're doing site-to-site VPNs, when you want solid security, when you want solid reporting, when you want a single pane of glass, Meraki's definitely the way to go. And you're right. I can't get customers to go and pay all the money for a full Meraki suite. But I can get very similar technology with Ubiquity for switching and routing. As long as I have that MX at the head end.
Yeah, makes total sense.
I just don't trust Ubiquity firewalls that much. Ray is our go-to USG guy. Whenever there's an issue with the USG between the three of us, we always go to Ray and say, all right, so what do we do here?
Probably get fucked out.
who doesn't love putting a USG in for a school? I mean, isn't that the best way to start your week?
You deserve detention for that remark.
I had to throw a little bit of comedic relief in there.
Yeah,
triggered.
we don't put that in those environments, Chris.
You know what? I've only installed the USG the one time, and it wasn't fun that one time. I'll tell you that it wasn't super intuitive or anything like that.
No, they can be frustrating at times.
They are fickle creatures. They are.
But and what's funny is I have a client that I just had to replace their USG. So at their main office, I put an MX67. And I said, we should really put a Meraki at your second office. No. We'll just use the client VPN and we'll just access our RDP server that way. Well, they're an accounting firm. And now that it's tax season, they need to scan all their documents from the remote office onto the server that's at the main office. And they go, well, our old IT guy just did this. I'm like, well, that's stupid. What he was doing was he was scanning to a folder on the local machine in the remote office, then doing remote drive through the RDP session to get that folder on the local machine onto the RDP session. Then they were pulling it out of the folder and putting it into the correct place. And I said, well, why don't we spend $600 and buy a Z3? So their teleworker firewall, drop that in, do a site-to-site, and now they're scanning directly to the server, and all their issues went away, and now it's 10 times faster. And having Meraki, it took a second to configure that VPN. And that's one of the biggest selling points for me is if I'm doing a site-to-site VPN, I want Meraki because all I do is turn it on, say this site, these subnets, and I'm done.
Yeah, it's so easy.
I love it. I mean, I have a office that I'm in negotiations with right now of picking up their IT, and they're having a lot of issues with their Wi-Fi. They have just 3 Meraki access points across 6,000 square feet, and it's just a single level doctor's office. And I was looking at the numbers. If I need to add in like a handful more Meraki access points and then add licensing onto their existing ones, I could rip everything out, replace it all with Ubiquiti, and save them a couple $1,000s.
For sure. For sure.
And use that savings to replace their switches that they have, because I don't know if you've ever seen one, but they have a 3Com network switch, and 3Com hasn't made switches in a very long time, and they really should get rid of that switch. But at the head end, you always want to spend that money on Meraki. It's well worth it.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. We just actually closed a little deal where it's a Meraki install, but the customer had Cisco donated the equipment to them.
Okay.
So basically, it's an MX firewall, I think the smallest one. I'm not sure. A couple access points, MR36 and MR46,
yep.
And then 2 MV32 cameras.
Oh, nice. Who did they donate their soul to get this free equipment from Cisco?
I don't know. They're like a government non-for-profit agency that helps people get back on their feet that were like, had hardships in life and were maybe convicted of whatever in the past and stuff like that. So people are trying to get on the straight and narrow. And it's actually funny. It's a buddy of mine that he works for the company, and they actually, so their company does 2 things. They help people try and to get back into society and get a job and stuff like that. So they offer general labor. And then the goal is if you like these people, then you could hire them up one day and get them a career. And the other side of it is they actually do their own construction projects and stuff like that. So actually this last week I was doing a project and I needed some workers, and they sent us some people, and they were working with us for the last 2 weeks. It was really awesome. And then my buddy gives me a call and says, hey, we actually have a project just down the street from where you guys are now at our training center, where we got a bunch of Cisco gear they donated to us, if you could give us a quote to install that. So we did.
Oh, that's awesome. I was listening to a podcast last week or so. I can't remember what ISP it is. It's one of the big 2 or 3 in Canada. And I know it's not in Ontario because you guys are too densely populated for them to do something this stupid. But I think it was BC or one of the provinces out west. They give their business customers a full Meraki stack when they sign up for service.
What?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
I almost fell out of my seat when they said it. I was like, how is this? No, this doesn't seem right. And they're only charging them like $100-$125 a month. So I don't know how or what relationship they have with Cisco, but yeah, they're giving them an MX, a switch, and an access point when they sign up for internet. It's nuts.
Could it be Blue Arc, Brandon?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it was Rogers.
I know they were doing it for a while, but if they're giving a full stack like that, it's got to be one of the big boys.
Yeah, it was Rogers or who are the big guys up in Canada?
There's Rogers, Bell, and Telus.
Yep.
I think it was Bell. I think it was Bell that was doing it. It was definitely out west. I mean, there's no way that they're doing it for you guys in Ontario.
I haven't seen that at any enterprise customers at all.
No, not even. It's small business customers are doing it for.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they must be hurting for money out there. They just want to have anybody they can sign up. I mean, you guys have 60% of the population within what, 100-mile radius. So once you get outside of Southern Ontario, you got to find ways to make money.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, actually, down here, they're hurting in some spots for internet so bad. Like if you go like 45 minutes from Toronto, for example,
yeah,
and it'd be a nice neighborhood, really expensive houses, shit internet. Max speed they can get is like 20 megabit per second on a DSL line that they can't even double up and bond or anything. There's nothing going to the area. So
start selling some Starlink, Chris.
Yeah, the funny thing is, they actually, it's my one big client. They're a big construction company. And it's two brothers, Frank and Adrian. So they both actually inquired about Starlink, and we ordered it up. They put their deposit. So hopefully it comes in soon and can do a review on that. Really looking forward to it.
So your governing body for telecommunications up there hasn't done any type of regulations on that, because the FCC in New York State, when the Spectrum merger happened, so Time Warner Spectrum merger happened, they basically forced Spectrum's hand and said, you guys better fix all your services in low populated areas and in like farm country and out in very rural areas. They forced their hand. They ended up not doing it. They ended up balking at the deal and didn't do any of these upgrades. And New York State slapped them on the hand so hard that they're now having to install fiber services in rural areas because they didn't live up to the deal. So my partner company that I was telling you about, the guy who does a lot of my phone systems, up until a year and a half ago, he had a 1.5 meg DSL service at his house. He now has a 1 gig fiber circuit at his house because of Spectrum's screw up in the rural areas.
Wow. Night and day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he would always joke with me. I would say, hey, can you do this for me? He goes, no, I'm at home. I have no internet. It's not fast enough.
I know, it's ridiculous. Like, it can't, like, these guys too. I mean, like, they have money, they'll pay for whatever, but just, it's not available. And even wireless internet, not available. So hopefully this Starlink is really going to be a game changer. But you said it's not available in Canada just now?
No, I know it should be.
Yeah.
I assume so.
Yeah. 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 The CRTC, I'm pretty sure that's the governing body here. I don't keep too much tabs on that kind of stuff, but I got an email from Starlink just actually today, saying, hey, we've got your, I sent an email, like, cause I got an email from them a few months back. You signed up for the registration. Then just now I got another email just yesterday or today saying, okay, it's pretty much available in your area now. So if you pay your deposit, it's first come, first serve. And you can expect to get like 50 megabit per second download speed right off the bat.
Yeah. No, it definitely has to be available because Linus tested it and he's in outside of Vancouver. So okay. He has one, he's been testing it. So it's definitely available in Canada. And I've seen some like insane speeds off of it. 100, 120 meg down.
Yeah.
And well, guys,
Chris Crosstalk was getting over 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And some guys were getting kind of crazy with it. They were seeing how much snow they could put on the dish before it would really die. Guys had like 3-4 inches of snow on the dish and they were still getting like 5-10 meg down. So this thing is pretty resilient. And from what I've seen in videos and different interviews, they only have 10 or 15% of their satellites in orbit. And they're supposed to be putting faster satellites up in the near future.
Hmm. Guys, what do you think about this? Tell me if it's possible at all. I'm not sure, but I was just thinking, like, before this whole Starlink thing even came, there's a real, real need in my area, 45 minutes away from my area, all over that have horrible, horrible internet. So I was wondering, what if we somehow bought or purchased space on a tower and paid for an internet connection where there was service and then did our own mini ISP to these like cottage country and shit like that?
Yep.
Yeah. Wisp.
So yeah, that is huge in the Thousand Islands.
If we had flatland here, man, that's what I would be doing all day long.
Yeah.
That is. Wait a minute. So you want to buy an island? I'm in.
Well, there is a Thousand Islands close to me if you want to go buy one.
I don't really want the island. I just want the ability to sell to all the islands and maybe get one free.
Sorry to cut you off, man.
I think there is a huge opportunity for that. That is big in the cottage countries. I mean, down here with islands and all that, that's huge. Mm-hmm. There's tons of companies that are just providing wireless internet to rural areas that just don't have any other options. They'll bring in a dedicated fiber connection to their offices and start spidering off from there. And they'll use their different clients as POPs to get to other areas.
Yeah.
I think there's a big opportunity for that. And when I go up into the Adirondacks, there's tons of little companies that are even offering DSL and coax services that aren't Spectrum, that aren't Verizon, that aren't Frontier. So I think you head north in cottage country. I think that there is a big opportunity up there.
Big time. Even like out in, you know, in the islands more. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you can start advertising and you can start having the commercials and say, hey, we'll take care of you even up in cottage country. I always love those commercials where they have to point out the fact that they will deliver to cottage country. Even though we're a Toronto company, we'll take stuff up to cottage country. Is there no services like that up there?
Not really. Like, well, if you can imagine, only 45 minutes away from we are from Toronto, biggest city, people are struggling. So hour, yeah, 2, 3, 4 hours away, good luck. They don't have, like, there's wireless internet available, but it's so crap.
Right. Right. No, I mean, the first thing to do is start looking into the regulations, see what spectrums you can run, see, make sure there's no weird regulations with your governing telecommunications body, and start looking into it. I mean, 90% of these companies are running off Ubiquiti. That's what their radios are, that or Cambium.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, your investment is not that huge to get off the ground and start going with it. And as you sign up more customers, you start building out the internal infrastructure and just keep going and keep building as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, up there, you could even start creating plans like, okay, you're going to be here for 6 months. You pay us for 6 months and you can kind of gauge your usage off of that. Cause I know up there, you're not going to have year round residents. So no. If you can find ways to utilize cottage country to your benefit here, because I mean, I know people down in the Finger Lakes that they're paying for cable, they're paying for internet, they're paying for phone all year round, and they're only there for 3 months. If you can come in and say, hey, we're just going to charge you for 3 or 6 months, you would probably sign everybody up in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's definitely a huge opportunity there for you.
I think the biggest issue is going to be getting the initial pipe to be able to provide that service. Yeah. That's going to be the biggest concern.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like an unorthodox ask. It's not like they have a program you could just sign up for. Hey, let me be a mini ISP and just use your tower. It's probably like you got to know the right people and kind of finesse your way into that, I'm assuming.
Well, and what a lot of these companies do is they say, screw the tower. I'm going to use a water tower. I'm going to use a silo on a farm. I'm going to use something else to my benefit. I'm not going to go to a heavily regulated tower to try to jump on that. I'm going to use just normal structures, mm-hmm, that are out in the country and use those to my benefit.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you get permission to.
Right. Right. But you can just pay a rental fee. I mean, farmers love making revenue for no reason at all and not having to do anything.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you could maybe even find a way to get a big ass mast and it, you know, pay the, yeah, guy, attach it to his farm silo or some shit. Yeah. Like you said.
And yeah, no, they would be all over it. What you could go to them and say, hey, we're going to give you free internet if you let us do X. And they would sign up in 2 seconds, mm-hmm, and they would say, absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah. And by the way, you'd never be able to even get this internet here if it wasn't, actually, wait, no, it doesn't make sense. Cause it'd have to have service at their location.
Well, no, I'm saying even if you're using that farm as a pop,
mm-hmm,
so okay, then you're saying you guys have DSL, that's your only option here. How about I come in, I'm going to use your towers as a pop to distribute out to all of our other customers, and I'm going to give you free internet.
Mm.
So yeah, don't look at just I need to get a tower and that's what I have to be on. Utilize whatever you can find. I mean, there's, oh gosh, I want to find the company. They're out of Nevada, and they build like remote sites and all that up in the mountains. And they're just building solar towers, their own little mast, and running off generators. And they don't pay anybody for anything other than the little spot of land they were on.
That's pretty cool.
Let me see if I can find them. Sky Fiber. There's Sky Fiber on Instagram. And I mean, these guys cover, I think, the Reno, Nevada area, Lake Tahoe area. So like Northern California, Northern Nevada area, they're a huge WISP out there. And they, looking at their Instagram, could definitely give you some solid ideas. There also are some great groups on Facebook of different WISPs. that you can learn a lot off of and ask questions. And even in the LVN Slack, I would throw questions out there too. I mean, I don't think there's any of us that are running WISPs, but there's many of us that have done wireless solutions on farms.
I've been trying. That. There's a lot of buildings in the way over here.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how your Starlink works with all the density that you have in your area, Marco.
Well, they're saying you need 100 degrees to get full coverage. So it's going to, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but it may be, I think it'll be a cool secondary instead of using my AT&T as a cradle point as my backup tied into the MX. I think it'd be a cool secondary backup failover.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, just to have that knowledge that that's an option out there now. I mean, gosh, it was just, 6 months ago that our only option in the States was HughesNet that was metered, that was putting you over a barrel on cost. And now we have something that's unlimited with high speed, and they're not putting you over a barrel. So I think HughesNet is about to die. I don't know about you guys. Good talk.
I really just wanted to leave that awkward pause so you have something to edit out later. That's why I was leaving it.
Oh, gosh. So we talked about your IT stack. What do you use on the security side, camera side? Is there a go-to brand that you use there, or are you just going off of whatever the customer would like you to use?
Well, honestly, yeah. Most of the times the customers are so cheap, at least my customers anyways, that I have to, in the past, install mostly, you know, Hike and stuff like that. But if I have my way, that's for cameras, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for access control, it would be another cheaper product is CDVI. But like I said, when I was working as a subcontractor for those bigger security companies, I had a lot of experience working with Axis cameras and Avigilon products. Yep. And same with S2. And those are some real high top tier security vendors or manufacturers rather. And I really like working with that kind of stuff. But first off, Avigilon, you can't sell it unless you like they're direct to
right.
dealer.
Right.
You got to buy a whole whack of stuff to even get in bed with them. And Axis is great, but the prices are just ridiculous, right? So
are you using the cameras tied in with their VMS and NVRs, or are you using the cameras with a different VMS?
Well, to be honest, I haven't had any of my own projects yet where I've got to use any of this fancy stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've looked into it, and Axis does have some built-in NVRs and stuff like that, but I may be open to using, like I've used in the past, Genetec. That's really good stuff.
Yeah, Genetec's pretty nice. Yeah, I mean, you have to be a partner with them too, and they want their numbers, and S2 with Linnell and Milestone, you know, you get all the good ones, but like you're saying, Axis is, you know, I think they're the Rolls Royce of cameras at one point. Now I kind of feel like the other guys are getting really in the mix. You know, you get your Hanwas with your Canon lenses and Sony lenses, and whereas one point Axis was the only company that did it really, really well.
Hanwas catching up.
Hanwas, they're awesome stuff, really. I mean, you can go from moderate to full scale. Hey, I want a 12 megapixel 4 sensor camera, you know, and put all the analytics and everything in with it. But pretty wild stuff how people are finally catching up.
Yeah. Actually, the project we're just working on now, it's an engineering firm. We decided to go with digital watchdog cameras for them. And we're using Digital Watchdog server. And I think one of the reasons we did that is because they decided to go with Pro Data Key. It's also my first Pro Data Key job. And they have a direct integration with Digital Watchdog. That's why we did that. And then they also had a deal going where if you a megapixel varifocal camera, I think it was, if you buy one of those, then it's a one-to-one. They give you a free license as well. So that's what we ended up doing. I haven't installed any of the stuff yet. We just ran all the cables, actually just finished up this week. And I'm really looking forward to installing it because it's, kind of a higher level stuff than what we usually work with. So,
yeah, it's a nice platform. I mean, PDK, I'm a little bit, I've done some stuff. One of the, my rep used to be my old Keyscan rep. So we kind of have like a soft spot for them, but we're big Brevo guys. But PDK is, I think they're designed for where they're designed for, but they have some nice integrations. You know, all these companies are now starting to really understand like, hey, we need to catch up to speed. Like you were saying before, you know, you got on board with Brevo. Well, you got Brevo and Eagle Eye. It's a very, very hard competitor to really try to meet with. And if for what they do, I mean, they're awesome.
Isn't that the best of the best right now, Marco, in your opinion? Eagle Eye and Brevo?
I love it. I mean, it gives you your RMR. We try to really put with the customer a service plan with it so that it gives them that peace of mind and sense of security that, hey, we know someone's looking at it if we have a problem. But it just... It's built ground up, cloud built. It's not an on-premise system that they converted. You know, all the bugs are out of it. They're very good, and I speak very highly of them just because I've been with them since the start, and I know all the top tier guys. You know, the president, the VP, the head of tech. So I kind of have a soft spot for them in a point. But even if I didn't know them as well as I did, I just really don't know anybody else that can compete at that level that they do it, you know?
Yeah, I know it's such a solid product. I've seen it over the years, and only a few guys have really had experience or know how to like install it or be a part of it or are dealers. But everybody who talks about it always says, man, Brevo, best stuff, Brevo, good stuff. So finally now I actually became a dealer, and this same job that we sold the Pro Data Key to, I pitched Brevo first. But the monthly was wasn't double or anything, but it was, I guess, a little bit more than the Pro Data Key. So they ended up going with that. And I don't even think, it wasn't only because of the cost. It was also that the Pro Data Key has this new feature with their Touch IO readers where it's completely touchless. And due to COVID and all that stuff, the customer thought that was really cool.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen that. I think I saw that last year or maybe a year and a half ago. And I think it was maybe ISC East, and they had it. So, yeah, like you're saying, they have some – certain systems have some nice features. A lot of times, just from my experience, when we want to try to get something to do what the manufacturer doesn't do normally, we try to find another way to make it happen. So, like, whether it's with a reader, a different reader, or low energy Bluetooth. I don't remember if PDK can do it with other readers. I don't know if they're built secured to their reader proprietarily, but I know with Brevo, you know, we've done HID, Farpoint, I don't know, you know, really all different variations of the readers to try to make things function the way the customer wants it. So that's one nice feature I know with it. But like you're saying, I know that new feature that came out with PDK, and it's great for, it's what you want, right? You want to, you have stuff in your hands. You don't want to have to touch anything, stumble for your key fob, or you got to pull out your phone, unlock the app. So I totally get it for that. Absolutely.
Me personally, I like the Brevo one better, the fluid access. I mean, they don't have that on all their readers, but I guess I assume they're going to bring it to the rest of the readers, but the fluid access is pretty cool. You just go and you touch the button and you're in, right? So it's pretty cool.
Right. They really, really dig deep for the engineering side of things. And I can really respect that because of the fact that they are doing their due diligence, you know, and they really go through it. And like I said, I'm close with the guys. So when I have something that happens with something and I call the, you know, head of support, and he's like, yeah, we know what's going on. We're working on it, or we're doing this next. And it's kind of cool to get some of the ins and outs of things when the other people don't really know about it. And it's the way of the future. But as far as programming goes and managing it, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think there's anything that comes close to it.
Yeah, no, the software is just incredible. I've dabbled with it a bit, and it's just, my problem is I'm so new to both of the platforms, I'm not good enough to sell it yet. And I know, like, you can't really be like, hey, we do Pro Data Key and we do Brevo. Kind of got to pick one. What's your cloud offering? But I want to do Brevo. Just, I got to know how to sell it better. I know it'll kick the crap out of Pro Data Key for sure. There's so many cool features that Pro Data Key just doesn't have. But that's kind of just how the cookie crumbled on this deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it happens. I mean, I get it, especially down here, man. I mean, you know, you're saying people are very cost conscious, and
that's a good way.
Doesn't change here either. I mean, it's, if anything, it's worse. You know, everybody wants to do it and they want to do it under budget and they don't really care. But yet when ownership takes it over and we as the integrator are still there and they're yelling and screaming at us, now whose fingers are we pointing towards, you know? So you try to, over the years, you try to build it up and try to sell it as a benefit to them. And that's what I've always done with it. Like, it's like, you can explain anything to anybody, but if it's something that they don't know, they don't understand it, they don't know why they should go with this platform, you might as well tell them that, you know, use a lock and key, because they don't know why it's better or why it should be something they should use.
I feel like it's a hard sell right off the bat, because if somebody does know about access control, they're going to say, well, hey, my buddy Jim's got access control at his shop. He doesn't have to pay monthly. So why am I going to pay monthly? Right.
Yeah. I can give you one reason. So I have a local fire department that I do some IT for, and they decided to buy their access control system off Amazon. I got a call one night at 10:30 and I didn't pick up my phone. I was sleeping. And I get a voicemail. They're freaking out. We can't get into the fire hall right now. We have a call. We can't get in. Our access control system's down. Is there anything you can do to fix it? Yada, yada, yada. And called them back the next day, and they ended up getting in. The person with the key was 20 minutes away. But you get what you pay for. They had one of their members install the access control system. The guy lives in Arizona now, so he couldn't administer the system at all. But that just goes to show you that, yeah, John Dum Dum can install an access control system that he bought off Amazon, but is it going to work as well as that Brevo system or even the PDK system?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. There's tons of benefits, but you just got to convey that to the client.
Right, right. And I mean, with access control, it's, okay, do you want the Amazon purchase to completely lock you out of your building? Or do you want a system that you know you can trust, that you have tech support you can call, that you can trust, and you don't have to worry about it?
Right. And that's the biggest thing. It's security. It's not like a camera. If a camera goes out, all right, I can wait till tomorrow. But like you said, Brandon, if it's a life safety situation, yep, and the guy who put it in didn't know what he was doing and didn't have any fail safes on it, and you now are locked out of a building that you need to get into rather urgently, and you have nobody to call. So, I mean, that, you know, that's not typically a manufacturing issue, although if they got it from Amazon, it probably is. But it's, you know, you want something that's reliable, and then you want it to be built correctly. And that's very, very big.
Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to talk on is, what brought you to the Low Voltage Nation? What made you sign up for LVN Gold? I mean, that's how we met, was on an ambassador call, and you were talking about, hey, I don't know what direction I want to go in structured cabling, MSP, and that's what brought this conversation on tonight. So what brought you to LVN Gold?
Well, basically, I think like we all have one thing in common. We're passionate about what we do, and we want our work to stand out and just be different than what's typical in our industry or in general, right? So where it all started, I guess, I got to shout out Pierce, All Green Lights. I was following his Instagram, and I said, holy shit, man, this is neat. This guy really looks, this stuff looks good. So I start following him, and lead me to other accounts and other guys, and you see stuff. It's like, oh, cable comb, what the hell is that? I'm going to go pick one of those up. And then, you know, you start implementing some of the stuff you're learning on this, and it's like, real wow. And then when you guys came out with this Low Voltage Nation, I said, I noticed, you know, Pierce was a part of it, and I said, well, I want to check this out and see what it's all about. And I know it's growing and growing every single day. I try to get in on kind of the ground floor with you guys, and it kind of sucks that we're out here in Canada. We're kind of just, I feel like, separated from you guys and by the border, but the online brings us together. So yeah, that's pretty much.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Pierce. So I've known Chris Tiffany for many, many years, through the MSP groups on Facebook and all that. And he brought me to Pierce. I started following Pierce on Instagram. Then Pierce gets into this unknown group called the Low Voltage Nation. And that's what brought me in. It feels like it's 7 degrees of separation with Pierce when it comes to Low Voltage Nation. Everybody gets the Low Voltage Nation from Pierce at the end of the day. And I mean, to be honest, yeah, there's a border that separates us. But once that border opens back up, we're definitely going to want to do some stuff up in Canada. I mean, I don't know if you know, Blake's Canadian, so he's got those ties. I'm half Canadian, so I got those ties. We definitely want to try to do something in Toronto or Hamilton or something in the near future once border starts opening and we can start doing our events again. Okay, and we're going to start doing stuff more up north too. So, I mean, we're probably going to do something in New York City. We have a couple different options closer to you too, just on the other side of the border once we're starting to be able to do meetups again.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'd love to be, like I said, a part of it more and more. If you guys like, let me be the, I'll start the chapter here in the North in Canada. And you know what I mean? If we can organize something, if you guys need my help, I'd love to help.
Absolutely. No, I mean, definitely talk to Blake about that. That's one thing that he wants to do is kind of have chief ambassadors in different regions that can kind of fly that LVN flag in those specific regions, and having a chief ambassador in Canada and in Toronto is going to be great. That would be huge for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to be a part of that.
Awesome. So where can people find out more about you? Where can they find you on the web?
Well, our website is actually being developed right now, so it's under construction. But you can check us out on Instagram at soteria.inc. And our website, which will be ready shortly, will be soteriatech.ca.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for jumping on tonight. Ray, where can people find out more about you?
At the good old Libertas Ray, L-I-B like boy, E-R-T-A-S, Ray, R-A-Y.
And Marco, where can people see your work and your pretty trucks?
Well, I made it easy for everybody. It's all just Enterprise CC.
Awesome. And to find our MSP Weekly joint work, you can find us at Entertas IT on Instagram. Anything else, guys?
I mean, I could go on all day if I wanted to, but I don't think anybody wants to hear me go on.
Yeah, no, Chris, we'll have to have you jump on again sometime in the near future. This was great. Thank you so much for getting on with us tonight.
Keep up the good work, Chris.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to working with all of you.
Same here, bud. Thanks again.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.